just joyful to be here in this service on this Advent week three of Joy. And I find that particularly joyful because my middle name is Joy and I'm preaching on Joy Sunday. So it worked out really well for me. We are continuing to examine our series on God is here now and with us in Christ Jesus. This Christmas morning, we want to reflect on the vulnerability of Jesus who came to us as a baby. His vulnerability that reaches us and sees us and teaches us the way of the kingdom. So to be vulnerable, we'll start with some definitions. What does it mean to be vulnerable? Now, my youth, we just did this on Tuesday. Does anyone know? What does it mean to be vulnerable? Come on, I know you were paying attention. Micah. Yeah, to be able to be weak. The Latin root word means wound or woundable. So to be vulnerable is to be woundable. Now, I have never known deep vulnerability like I have when I became a parent. Not only was I now the most woundable I've ever been because it's as if my own heart, right, is walking outside my body in these two children, but I also became faced with the reality of how vulnerable children are. And I have much more grace for my own mother and all that she went through as a mom of a child growing up in the jungles of Africa. So not only did she have to face the fears of deathly snake bites, malaria, perilous flesh-eating ant invasions, and elephant trampling, you know, the usual that you experience as a mom, but also my very own idiocy, which trumps all that. Like the time I put peely-peely peppers in my eyeballs. Or when I broke my nose, which was an ultimate act of stupidity. My friend and I were jumping out for the clothesline bar, standing on a chair, and then scooting it further and further and further away. Without thinking, what's going to happen when I do not reach that bar? Okay? So it's my turn, and I'm going for it. I'm like, I'm going to Superman this sucker, and I fly out, and I grab the bar, but not, and it misses, and I fall flat on my face on the cement gutter, a lip of a gutter. And my nose went straight up into my skull. But it was the operation that really drives the story home, wherein without anesthetics in the village, they took a bench hammer and they hammered my nose back into place. And now I know that after this message, you will be coming up and looking at me. Like seeing what's up with my nose. My mom fainted 5 times during the procedure. She was woundable. She was vulnerable. Being human is a risky, risky business. Being human means being woundable. Hold on just a second. This is the things that Austin doesn't deal with. Unless you would like to wear dangly earrings, which you can. Being human is risky business. Being human means being woundable. Being human means being ever so vulnerable. This Advent, we've been using art to help us explore our God who is here and with us now in a baby. The art we have shown the last 2 Sundays is by artist Scott Erickson in his work, Honest Advent. Now, as we look at this next picture, I am sure a lot of you have varying thoughts and feelings. I can see it on your faces. Uh-huh. Yeah. I have to be honest with you. The first time I saw this, I didn't really like it. And actually, I still don't think I do. I want to shield my eyes. My instinct is to look away. I feel offended. And I ask myself, does the humanity of Emmanuel, God with us, offend me? Why is it hard for me to imagine my great big God, sovereign and majestic and all-powerful, all-knowing creator, king of all kings through whom all kings bow down as a baby that needs a diaper change? And my art preference, by the way, has no bearing on this artist who is amazing and I love his art. And in fact, he is true to his word. This is an honest Advent picture, being honest and vulnerable about the vulnerability of God. A God who is vulnerable? Like, really? Is this not the greatest scandal of the gospel? Jesus' whole life and walk among humankind is marked by the deepest and the most profound vulnerability. In Luke 2:40, it says that he grew up in wisdom and stature. That means Jesus had to learn to crawl and eat with a spoon and get hummus all over him. And he had to, like, maybe he ended up putting peely peppers in his eyes too. And maybe he was dropped on his head as a baby like Bradley was. And maybe it's true, but he's okay. Maybe he became at one point an awkward middle schooler, right? He willingly entered into the highest risk of becoming woundable, and indeed, as such, by his wounds, we are healed. God sent his son Jesus into the world now with divine and meticulous planning. As the scriptures declare, he entered the world in the fullness of time. The right time, the chosen time. God considered and chose the exact context and person and specific circumstances of his existence with precision and purpose. Okay, now keep that in mind. Knowing that, let's take a look at a wide-angle lens of the way that Jesus came vulnerably and lived. Jesus was conceived with the stain of scandal, born to an unwed teenage mother, into a blended family. Father Joseph adopted, but the divine God is his father. An utterly helpless dependent infant, later a refugee seeking asylum. And in place and context, he was born in a barn, laid in a crib fit for animals, in a vicious and violent political time of oppression. Into an occupied nation fearing the terror of Rome during an infant genocide. In his adult life, he was homeless, poor, persecuted, wrongfully incarcerated, publicly abused and humiliated, unjustly sentenced to capital punishment, hung naked on a tree, died, and descended into hell. God purposely became exposed to the worst perils from birth to death that a human could ever face, and complexities and difficulties. Jesus comes and God is here, but not through the victory of politics and power, but in shocking vulnerability and humility. And so now we ask ourselves, why? Why does that matter? To reach us, to see us, and to teach us. See how that rhymes? That's what they teach you in seminary. No, they don't. In Jesus, God appeared on earth in the most vulnerable form, space, and place imaginable, I propose, so that everyone could take him into their hearts. When I look at the list that I just read off, and I just close my eyes and I think, seriously, how low can you go? Not any lower than that. Jesus, friends, goes all the way down to the depth of hell in order to bring all of humanity up into glory. As scripture said, in order to lead a host of captives out in his train. That is why he went low, so we could be brought all the way up to glory. In his vulnerability, Jesus is accessible to everyone and can reach everyone, from the royal leaders and the wise men who were kings who sought him, right, to the homeless seekers, the shepherds, from the powerful and privileged to the meek and the limited. His healing hand can reach deep into the glacial crevices of brokenness that break apart this world, because he's lowered himself even deeper to open the doors of eternal life for everyone. Amen. Jesus was exposed to, and he experienced every iota of sin and darkness a human could possibly experience. And we read this in Hebrews 4:15, not 5. Oh, I got it right. Good. These powerful and assuring words. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Yeah, now I'm going to go on. There's more to this verse. I'm going to read the rest of it. Let us then, therefore, approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace. So Jesus became vulnerable, just as we mentioned, in all those trials and all those tests and all those temptations that each one of us face, and overcame them then on our behalf so that we can approach the throne of God with confidence. That means also that no event, no circumstance, no trial or grief in our shared or our shaded history of the world, both personal and collective, is beyond the reach of the Savior. Jesus is born into our brokenness, into a world so messy with sin, into the midst of violence and bloodshed. Therefore, no power, however violent and oppressive, escapes the reach of God's redemptive trajectory. Right? So to redeem everything, he exposed himself to everything. To reach all, he became Lord of all. Secondly, to reach us, Jesus became vulnerable. Secondly, to see us. To see us. The Me Too movement, coined and started in 2006, gained traction in 2017, and became immensely important for a lot of reasons. It raised awareness, bringing global attention to the prevalence of sexual harassment and assault. When survivors began to share their stories, it highlighted how common these experiences are. And this resulted in a culture shift where harassment is tolerated less. This collective sharing helps so many people feel less isolated and more supported than ever. These two words, Me Too, I would venture, are some of the most powerful two words that can ever be said to one another. I lost my husband, Me Too. I suffered a terrible divorce, Me Too. I wrestle with substance abuse, Me Too. My kids won't talk to me, Me Too, right? Whatever it is, whatever the heartache, whatever the struggle, whatever the pain or the experience, when another voice says, Me Too, a shift happens in us, right? We are not alone. And we feel so seen. We feel so heard, right? And when a powerful or a public voice says, Me Too, we feel even more seen and more heard. Imagine then God who says this, Me Too. Now, I asked our Pine Lake youth this question during our small groups this week. What difference does it make to you that Jesus went through all of this and shared with permission? Our middle schooler, Luke Flangus, says, it makes me feel more seen, more known, and more understood than I have ever in my whole life. For a while now, right, there's this Christian campaign that's been running on ads and billboards saying, Jesus, he gets us, right? And I find this to be deeply moving. We serve a God who gets us. We serve a God who says, Me Too. Jesus says, Me Too. I've been abused. I've been mistreated. I've been poor. I've been lost. I've been misunderstood. I've been a refugee. I lived in a world of war and terror and political division. I've been cold. I've been hungry. I've been abandoned. I've been lonely. I've been stressed. I've been tempted. I've been anguished. I've been angry. I've been sad. I've been grieved. I have wept. Me Too, God says. The El Roy, the God we serve, meaning the God who sees me, became flesh and blood with retinas and pupils, and now he sees humanity from the crib to the cross and beyond as he claims for us the victory. When I was little, my mom used to sing me a song to put me to sleep. How many of you had songs to put you to sleep? And I'm really hoping that it wasn't Rockabye Baby, because that's a terrifying and awful song. Down Will Come Baby, Cradle and All, right? Like, really? Really? Wow. Anyway, it was originated by Keith Green, and it's the song, my throat is so scratchy, but I feel like we should sing it. I don't know if you know it, you can sing it with me. It says, oh Lord, you're beautiful, your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. The eyes of God are on his children. On you. He sees you. He sees me. And from the moment he took his first breath, a gasp of air into the tiny, fragile lungs, Jesus experienced the immediate and the acute pain of living. He gets us. Isaiah 53 prophesied this. Isaiah 53 said he was, starting in verse 3, said he was despised and rejected by humankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Or other translations say acquainted with grief. He gets us. Like one from whom people hide their faces, we held him in low esteem. Maybe this Christmas it is an effort for you to drag yourself to church because you feel the sharp contrast between the festive joy of the season and the great loss and pains that you hold in your heart. Now, while it's the happiest time of the year for some, and if that's you today, rejoice, glory to God, and thank you, God, for your blessings, right? But while it's the happiest time of the year for some, it's the hardest time of the year for others. Emmanuel, friends, God with us, is not just a pithy saying that we can slap on our social media posts or out on the road. In the name Emmanuel, God with us, we find the answer to humanity's deepest longings. Indeed, as the song sings, the weary world rejoices. And we say Emmanuel as both a plea and a prayer. God be with us. God is with me. In his person, Jesus gathers up all of humanity and experiences all of us as the second Adam. He experiences everything we do. He's familiar with it all. And I find this kind of God with us a very thick witness, not just beside me, or, hey, God, I need you every now and then, but a witness that is so thick and so comforting and so assuring. I see you. Jesus, he gets us. Finally, to teach us, God became vulnerable. Ooh, that was a little test. To reach us, to see us, and third, to teach us. Nice job. There's my sigmas over there. Why did mighty God become? It's just my goal to get it in a sermon at least once. You know that. Why did mighty God become wrapped up in wrinkly, crying, dependent, nursing flesh and enter the context of suffering and sorrow? To teach us what it looks like to fulfill the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This looks like self-emptying. It looks like vulnerability. Because Jesus has literally the highest level of privilege, the highest status there could ever be, as in him and through him all things have their being. All might and wisdom and power and glory are in Christ. All kings bow to him. He is fully God, and yet he is fully human, and he emptied himself completely. Philippians 2:6 says this. It says, in your relationships, sorry, I got my slides wrong. So it's Philippians 2:6, not 2:4. It says, in your relationships with one another. Now here's the stickler. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What is that mindset? Good question. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul exhorts us. He says, church, have the mindset of Christ. Jesus demonstrates us the high calling of emptying ourselves for the sake of others, to leverage our privileges, not for our advantages, but for the sake of those who are in need that God is leading us to. We are called then to like live our life with this constant scanning, right? Who is God asking me to serve? How is God asking me to be vulnerable? In what ways am I to empty myself out for the sake of others? Jesus shows us. His whole life shows us. He made himself vulnerable by loving and walking amongst the vulnerable of his time. And he lovingly calls us to emulate him. Follow me, he says. To follow Jesus is to serve then with compassion, with humility, and mercy to those around us. And the challenge will be, it starts in your home. Now, in the movie Frozen 1, Elsa sings a song expressing her, which I think is better than Frozen 2. Elsa sings a song, Scott's going to be so mad at me, expressing her inability to hold in her true self anymore. Okay, and it's called Let It Go. So for the sake of humbling ourselves before one another, I ask you to sing again. This time we're going to sing Let It Go. Ready? Let it go, can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, turn around and slam the door. Okay, and then, I know, Kyle's like, I'm going for it. Okay, so then she says, I'm concealed, don't feel, don't let them know, but now they know. Nice job. In youth group, we give each other 3 or 5 claps for doing a great job. So lead us on. Let's go. Oh, we're doing 5? 5, let's do 5. Ready? And. Nice. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Our idolatry of power and strength whispers to us these same lies. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. The world screams this as it values strength and power. It warns us about exposing our hearts to one another. It says, don't dare go there. And so we are even more alone than ever because we're not. Right? Dare we, church, make ourselves be deeply seen and known by others? It's a risk. But in doing so, right, we are woundable. But we are like Christ. Jesus shows us it takes courage to do it. He demonstrates the power of weakness and humility, which is actually a demonstration of strength. He had the courage to be vulnerable, and so he was wounded. He says to his disciples after his resurrection, he says, see and feel my wounds. These are post-resurrection wounds. He shows us so that we can see God's redemptive purposes through the pain. They didn't go away after he rose from the dead. They're still there. And so he says, press in. And by my wounds, you are healed. So I have learned, and I am still learning, that the story I carry is not mine alone. It belongs to God. It's God's, and he wastes nothing. And our stories can be a band-aid, or they can be a tourniquet. It's for others. If we can be so vulnerable to share our life with one another, we can therefore declare then how God has met us there and been faithful in that space, how he pressed his wounds to ours and how he healed us. It's a risky thing, this thing called life. It's a risky thing to love, but it conquers all. If he can do it, we can do it. Because he left us his spirit who helps us in our weakness. Or in the words of the old hymn, see, this is a song Sunday. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. This is your God. Meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. I'm going to end with this poem by Reverend Derek Chamber. It is Christmas. May we look carefully and see the face of God in those around us. May we listen closely and hear the voice of God between us. May we make ourselves vulnerable and feel the love of God enter our risk-taking hearts this Christmas. Rekindling the compassion and courage to speak out, care for the vulnerable ones with whom God is still pleased to dwell. Just as God's Son was pleased to dwell among us in a manger long ago, vulnerably. For that is what Emmanuel looks like, and it still does for those prepared to take the risk and receive the gift. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, glory to your name. We bow down and we worship you. You are the King of all kings, the Lord of hosts. Angels sing your praises, God, and you came so low to the very depths so that we could rise with you. and hope and joy and peace and salvation, forgiveness for our sins. Father, there are those of us here who maybe have not been vulnerable to you, who have not taken the next step to say, I'm going to risk my life, my heart, my vulnerability to God, that I am ready to say yes to God's gift of peace and love and salvation through Jesus. And that means being vulnerable to say, hey, God, it's me. It's me. I'm here. It's just me. I'm messy. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I feel lost, but I'm here. And maybe in that moment, if that's you, you are saying this to God, and God, hear God's words back to you. Say, I am here with you now. I see you. I see you. Lord, we praise you. We just praise you. We adore your good and beautiful name, meekness and majesty. We give you our lives because you've given us yours. In this name we pray.